We have several days of retreat together, and it's an opportunity in the loveliness of the immediate nature around, in the very precious element of silence, in the flow and rhythm of Dharma teachings and practices, for us to touch our hearts, look into what's happening with our life, to
translation.
Oh, translation. Yeah. All right. So we're doing. Oh, I see. We're whispering up here, what's the best with the English and the Hebrew, with like around 95% of you willing to endure my English, that usually for those for whom English is rather difficult or unknown, then the four or five people meet in a small circle in the hall, and you know, one person can just be giving some summary, some flow. Would that be? Could we do it that way? Otherwise, with so many people speaking English, then everyone has to listen to my poor talk twice. You see, English and Hebrew. So basic, if possible, if okay, I will just talk free flow, and if the five people could perhaps sit close to you, yeah, and you could just free flow with them, if that would be okay.
Yeah.
It's a little easier for the 95%. We'll talk it about. We might change the location another time. Let's put a seat. If I go too quick, or just interrupt. So I will start from the beginning here, that Leela, Iran and I would like, and the managers and the good cooks and team, would like to welcome everybody here to the days of the retreat together. It gives us an opportunity to look deeply into ourselves. Where is our life? What's happening with our life? What are the priorities? It also gives us an opportunity to develop both heart and mind. To develop the heart is to uncover and touch deeper levels of kindness, generosity, gratitude, appreciation, compassion. Gives us an opportunity as well to develop our mind, not in terms of more knowledge and information, not in terms of becoming more clever as human beings, but the listening to teachings which contribute to waking us up, to helping focus our mind on priorities, to really find out with our heart and mind what it is to be human, what it is to be on this earth, what really matters. And you and I, as people on this earth, have a duty, in a way, to ourselves, to take some time out, as you and I are doing. Perhaps many of you, maybe most of you, maybe all of you, yesterday evening went to Sodor. And in my regular visits here to Israel over the past 15 years, I've attended myself. And any event in life is rather dependent upon the view. So there's the event. The event yesterday evening is family coming together. Brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and relatives and grandparents all coming together. And for some, the view of yesterday evening was, oh, we had a lovely time. The family were talking to each other. Lovely food, a lot of beautiful sharing taking place. And for others, the thought in the English of Passover has a completely different meaning. May we pass over last night as quickly as possible. And for others, may not have any family to go to last night. Others were alone. Others had no invitation. Others had two invitations. Very much appreciated because you went to one family. And the other family is very angry because you didn't go to there. So there's the event, major evening of the year here in Israel and elsewhere amongst in the Jewish community. It's the view that matters. There's the event. But the event is not independent of the view. The view that you have, the view that I have, the view in life is extraordinarily significant. Very significant. About anything. Anything. So Dharma means teachings and practices to contribute to looking at the view. To contribute at finding wisdom in the face of the event. Because your life and my life is a sequence of events. There never will be anything else but events. And there will never be anything else but your and my view of the event. And the whole of the human story is about the relationship of a view to an event. There's nothing else. This is it. So meditations, practices, the postures, what you listen to from us, our view, hopefully supportive and kind, your view, is part of the dialogue, the sharing. It's an event. The event is called a retreat. The event is called a meditation. The event is called looking at my life. It's just lovely to sit here with Leela and Iran. We've known each other about 10 years during the regularity of visits here, and of course also in dear old India as well. Iran was there with a group of some Israelis and visiting different parts of India, and just a few weeks ago we were both in Delhi at the same time, but just missed each other. I was getting my teeth fixed in Delhi. I have a dentist in Delhi, and the reason I go to the dentist in Delhi and not in Devon, where I live, is very, very simple. It costs 4 or 5 times the amount. I have to live on donations. So I'd rather go to Delhi and get my teeth fixed there. So that's why we didn't meet each other. And Leela also goes regularly to India. I'm curious, how many people in this room have been to India? Just put your hands up. Yes, it's the usual. God, it's the usual crowd. And and Leela goes, and I've just been hearing while I was recently there in India that some agreement between the Israeli government and the Indian government. It says if you've been to India, you have to wait, if you're Israeli, for 6 months before you can go back. What's the motive behind that? And it's one of those things that needs some little bit of protest about. However, we have to be here and now for the moment. In the exploration of the Dharma here, the two things I'd just like to address for a few moments. Leela and Iran will speak to you as well. And one of them, very important one, in the inner life and the way it manifests and helps to influence the view, and this is intention. If you and I want to check in with ourselves, if you and I want to feel really close to ourselves, if we want to know ourselves, of all the dynamics of our inner life, our personality, our thoughts, our ideas, our feelings, our moods, one of the key areas to look at, to check, is intention. What is the intention? And we have to keep checking in with ourselves, because intention can get corrupted quickly and easily. I'll give you an example. I was speaking at some years ago at one of these universities, instantly forgettable, I think it was Harvard. And I was meeting with the faculty of medical students and some of the teachers and professors. And I asked them, what's your intention for being wanting to be a doctor? What's your intention? And some said, well, I really want to serve sick people. I really want to do something important to help deal with people who are suffering. A very beautiful intention. And others said, well, my intention is actually, I don't know why I want to be a doctor, but my mother and father are doctors, and they want me to be a doctor, so basically, I'm doing it to please my parents. The intention. Others said, well, it's not quite what they said, but more or less, I haven't got enough letters in my name. So if I've got doctor before it and PhD after it, it feels better. I mean, and others said, well, you get a certain position in the community. And others said, well, surgeons are making an enormous amount of money. I mean, they're quite honest, right? Etc. So we want to check in with our intention. And sometimes, with intention, one can start off with a very beautiful and wholesome intention. And gradually, gradually, it can change. You start a relationship. You fall in love. Fantastic. Well done. You just enjoy so much being with this person. Love is in the air, love is in the bones, love is in the cells, love is in the conversation, love is in the bed, it's everywhere. And then the passage of time goes by. I'm sure some of you had some experience of this. I've had too much. And so the passage of time goes by. And that strength of that intention has got a little weak. And the relationship with the computer has got stronger as a substitute. you know, I don't think it's the same thing taking a computer to bed, but some people are, or making money, or working hard, or getting my career together, or just a fading of interest. And when our intention changes, it's not a solitary event. The other, called my partner, called my friends, called people I have contact with, or whatever, will pick up the shift in intention. They'll feel it. They'll feel it. It's not a single event, intention. It has its impact on others. So our ability, it's not easy, to keep in tune with our intention at the beginning is important. It's to be mindful and watchful of its movement, because it expresses in our thought, and we'll be looking very carefully at our thoughts during these days. It expresses itself in language, what you and I write, what you and I say, and it expresses itself in its outcome, in the result. And some of you in here, both in Dharma practices, you have a lot of experience, there's a lot of wealth, I recognize plenty of people in the hall, and Iran and I were just saying how many good friends are here and very committed to these explorations. And others of you as well have a lot of exposure and experience to what in England these days is called MBS. It sounds like a disease, but it means mind, body, spirit. Well, maybe it is a disease, but and a lot of you have a lot of exposure to the sister communities of yoga and tai chi, to psychology and therapy, to the importance of medicine, to exercise, many other ways in which we're interested in mind, body, and spirit, in religion and spirituality, all of that world. And sometimes your intention, you have a friend, she or he is really having a hard time. And the person begins talking to you about their experience. And you have some knowledge, you have some understanding. And you say to this person, you look so worried, you look so terribly anxious. You know, are you caught up with something or whatever? You ask. And your intention is pure. It's a pure intention to be supportive. But the other person says, don't psychoanalyze me. I don't need your Buddhist knowledge. So sometimes there is the intention that arises. You and I have to keep trust with it. Just because we have the intention, it doesn't mean to say that the outcome will be supportive. Plenty of people in this world have had very beautiful intentions. The intention to bring more love into this world. And it's been misunderstood. They've had to pay and still pay a very heavy price for it. Murdered, assassinated, tortured, imprisoned, rejected, dismissed. The intention of the heart to bring love is there, strong and steady. So looking into intentions has, as I mentioned, the impact on the way we think, the impact on words, language, the written and the spoken, and influence on the result. And when you and I look at our life and the movement of our life, we see that our relationship to life is certainly about the view, as I mentioned. But it's also significantly related. What are my intentions? What are my actions? And what are the relationships that I have to the results? Because that's our life. About our intentions. About what we do or what we don't do. And about the relationships to the results that come. Dharma practice is profoundly interested in this event. So you very kindly come into a retreat, and one of the people mentioned that altogether, in terms of inquiries and people asking about the retreat, but a couple of hundred people who are inquiring about the retreat and very grateful and appreciative for quiet determination, your intention to come, your intention to be in this situation here together, and to be here through the days. And it carries an intention. And naturally enough, all of us, the three of us sitting up here, and the team of us who are giving support to the program, wish and hope that your immediacy of intention to come to be in the hall will be sustainable. That means not only on Sunday, but on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday. And sometimes when things are a little difficult in life, and they might be, it might be all bliss and honey for you here. But sometimes things are a little difficult. It's interesting how quickly everywhere else in the world seems better. I don't know if you've noticed. Even Tel Aviv. Which is surprising, really. And, excuse me, apologies for all those who live in Tel Aviv. So sometimes, even with lovely food and lots of love and beautiful human beings around and the nature and the opportunity to be quiet and to still, when things are going on inside, the view, once again, can change, can't it? Oh, it can change very quickly. And this is the last place on earth that one wants to be. And it's not easy to be able to stay steady and trusting with the intention and to stay steady through it, all the way through. There are times when the intention, things may change dramatically. And then there are situations which are definitely more important than being here. And when sometimes that change of intention is owing to compassion. One friend here was telling me that not unusual. His mother is rather sick. There is a diagnosis taking place. The family may need to contact him. And he may need to go and give support to his mother. It's the act in the intention of compassion. I say that would be more important than sitting on the meditation cushion. So it's keeping steady. And then one or two people had told us before that they can't be here the whole time. And it may be the intention then is to go back to work. If you ask me, I would say, well, being here for the most part is more important than most jobs. And if you have a change of mind, then just telephone the boss and just say, look, Christopher said it's more important for me to be here, and I'll see you in a week's time. And good luck. So we want to look into our intention and see, and as I say, the three of us here just wish to give everybody the nourishment and the encouragement and the opportunity to really explore and just time to time here and in our daily life just to see what the intention is. It's a very, very important area of our inner life. I'll just take a few more minutes just to touch on two or three other aspects before passing over. And one of the aspects of this is this word Dharma for a moment. And it has about, it's spelt in the Sanskrit, this old language of India, Dharma. In the Pali, the language the Buddha spoke, it's Dhamma. But the word has the same meaning. One, as I said earlier on, and mostly the one that we use, the word of teachings. But the teachings and the practices keep working together. If it was just teachings alone, it would tend to be terribly theoretical. If there were just practices, if we just said to you, look, we don't give any teachings, just sit on the meditation cushion, and shalom, we'll be back at the end of the week. Then it would take a lot of faith, because one would just have a bare instruction, and that would be it. So the teachings and the practices keep complementing each other. And the simple criteria that we use is, what is my experience? What is my experience? So if I may say as a small example here, I just spoke to you for whatever, 15 minutes on intention. In Buddhist language, it's the second link in the Noble Eightfold Path. It means a way of life which helps to make our life noble, to live in a noble way. And if in the listening, one just listens, fine. And that's just a teaching. If the listening helps you, and myself as the privileged speaker for the moment, to check in with my intention, then the teachings have come to practice of looking at my intention. So immediacy, my intention is to share with you my understanding of the Dharma, to share with you my experiences, to share with you what others have told me. I'll share with you some of my experiences myself, of course, about my own life as the days of the retreat go by. And therefore, the intention is there. So if we check in with the intention, the teachings have come to practice. And this dialogue of teachings and practices keep working together for one reason: open the heart, bring insight into our life, and liberate the heart and mind. Other aspect, just let's take 5 minutes here, is on the general form of the day. And with the form of the day, there are the postures, four postures, and we'll speak to some detail in the instructions about this: sitting, walking, standing, and reclining. And our life as human beings on this earth keep moving between these four postures in day-to-day life, or we're in between them, so to speak. And we want to bring as much as possible a real sense of conscious life to our experience, to really be as conscious human beings as we can. Because the more conscious you and I are, the more we will see, the more we will discover, the more we will realize. And the less conscious we are, we'll live in habit, we'll live mechanically, we'll live in the spell of our tendencies, and wow, do we get out of touch, and wow, do we get unhappy, and wow, do we get ourselves into conflict with other people. Why? Because our habits and tendencies are not relevant to what's happening. We're out of touch, so we get afraid. We're out of touch, we feel incredibly guilty. We're out of touch, we feel very angry. We're out of touch because we keep wanting, 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 and never getting enough. So to be conscious is to start shifting that way of looking. That's our practice. Tovana, which is the network which gives support, for some years was looking for a place. And I remember in the old days we would... the good team, really, but always looking for places to stay. And then this lovely opportunity arose with regard to the kibbutz here, which is genuinely, very, very kindly and generously made the facility available. And it takes, perhaps an hour and a half from Tel Aviv to come here. There's other initiatives taking place nearby, with permaculture, and it's a real resource. And we are guests, all of us, without exception. And the kibbutz has, as I said, made it available to us to use. And it's rather important in all of this that we just remember that we are guests and to take care with all the details of things, and some of those things the good managers would have spoken to you about. And in a way, all of that is part of a mindful practice. The second, the other as well, is there are the meal times. And I rather smile to myself, apart from the food being consistently 5-star in Israel, I have to say, it does help with the intention to come. But what I did smile about, because I have to travel a lot, they're very beautiful, the biggest plates I've ever seen at a retreat center there. And you'll have to be rather mindful that the size of the plate doesn't have to reflect, be totally covered over, you see, you know, with a small mountain of food there. It's nice to have a nice, good-sized plate. But with the lovely, nutritious food which we are provided with, if everybody fills their plate up, what's going to happen, of course, that out of 100 people here, actually more with the staff and everything, it's going to get rather thin on the ground, and those at the end might just find that there's just a kind of lettuce leaf left at the end there. So mindfulness with food is not only an important event, but it's a reminder to us. Those of us, when we eat too much in this world, others eat less, have less, or have very little. And part of conscious life is looking at what we eat, how much we eat, and being conscious with our eating. The meditations of sitting, walking, standing, and reclining, and the meditations of eating are all equally as important, because as we know, there's a terrible amount of anxiety, pressure, conflict, confusion around food. There's a great deal of obesity in our society. There's a great deal of uncertainty and insecurity around the food. There's a lot of problems around it. Instead of food being lovely and tasteful and enjoyable and healthy and nourishing, it's become some use for something else, to try to cover up unhappiness. So let's make meal times, all the lovely work that everybody puts in, time just to eat well, to enjoy the food, to eat mindfully and consciously, to remember many people worldwide who are making it possible for us to eat. So we're looking at intentions. We're looking at the full program of the day with teachings and practices and the timetable. We're looking at the relationship to food and being comfortable there and mindful and conscious there. The contact with the nature. The meetings which will take place with you during the days here. Put all of that together, it would be truly deep. It would be genuinely nourishing. And that intention staying through the days, keeping steady with it, would be a great benefit, not only to you, but to your friends, your family, your loved ones, your nation, your neighbours of the nearby countries and places and situations. All of that all comes from the act of love and depth. Stay steady with it. It's worth it. So, who's going to...
ערב טוב לכולם, ברוכים הבאים לשבוע הזה, אנחנו הולכים לבלות אותו יחד, לא בחירה מובנת מאליה, לקחת שבוע שלם מהחיים, ולהיכנס למה שנקרא ריטריט, שם נרדף למה? מה זה בעצם ריטריט? המילה באנגלית, ריטריט, היא בעצם, הפירוש שלה בעברית, נסיגה, אולי התכנסות. אפשר להסתכל על זה כמו אולי הים, כן, שנסוג פנימה, לאיזשהו זמן, לאיזושהי תקופה, כדי לחזור לשוב בכוחות מחודשים ולחזור אל קו החוף, אולי קצת אחרת, אולי עם יותר אנרגיה, אולי עם כמה צדפים חדשים. אפשר להגיד אולי שזה מה שאנחנו עושים כאן, יחד. כל אחד כאן, כל אחת כאן, עוצרים שבוע שלם, מאפשרים את הנסיגה הזאת פנימה, את ההתכנסות הזאת פנימה, כדי אולי לשאול את עצמנו כמה שאלות, אולי בשביל לקבל כמה תשובות, אולי בשביל להכיר מי זה בכלל האיש הזה שחי אצלי בפנים, מי זאת האישה הזאת שחיה פה בפנים. הזדמנות. הרבה פעמים שאנחנו מגיעים למקום כזה, פינינו את הזמן, עשינו חופש, לקחנו חופש מהעבודה, מהבוס, מהמשפחה, פתחנו סוגריים כאלה באמצע החיים, והגענו עם אג'נדה, יש לנו מטרה, כל מיני שאלות שאנחנו ממש, אבל ממש רוצים, חייבים, מוכרחים לקבל עליהם תשובות. מצב מאוד שכיח. פחות שאלה אחת. פחות תשובה אחת שתצא מזה. אז אני רוצה להזמין את כולם מההתחלה. דווקא להניח. להניח את האג'נדה הזאת בצד. ככה לקפל אותה יפה בארון יחד עם הבגדים או בתיק שהבאנו. ולעשות משהו אחר לגמרי. אולי משהו שאנחנו פחות רגילים או פחות מכירים לעשות, וזה להיפתח אל הלא ידוע. להתחיל מחדש לגמרי, כל רגע, כאילו זה הרגע הראשון שאנחנו שמים לב אליו בכלל, על כל מה שזה אומר, כל המלאות שיש בו, כל העושר בעין שיש בו, אולי גם באלף. ובלי לשים איזשהו לוח זמנים על מה הולך לקרות לי בשבוע הזה, מה הולך לצאת לי מזה, היום הזה. המקום הזה שמאפשר לנו להיפגש עם הדברים כהווייתם, להיפגש איתם כפי שהם, רעננים, טריים, קצת כמו מבט בעיניים יחפות. אז אני רוצה להזמין את כולנו להיות עם מה שקוראים בזן תודעת המתחיל, beginner's mind. לא חשוב כמה ניסיון יש לנו. ממש להתחיל מההתחלה, כאילו זאת הפעם הראשונה. האמת, הרגע הזה, טרי, 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 לגמרי, חדש, אף פעם הוא לא היה פה קודם. איך אנחנו יכולים לגשת לחיים שלנו, להתנסויות שלנו, עם תודעה כזאת רעננה, כמו של ילד, שמסתכל בפליאה על מה שקורה בפנים, בגוף, במים ובחוץ. הפורם הזה שאנחנו קוראים לו ריטריט, קורס מדיטציה, יש לו התנהלות מסוימת. כבר ככה נכנסנו לתוך איזשהו סדר יום, אנחנו ממש בהתחלה, ובמיוחד בשביל מי שזאת פעם ראשונה, אנחנו מנסים לגשש את דרכנו, להבין מה קורה, מתי בעצם מתחילים, מה הולך לקרות לי סוף סוף. אחד המילים שאני מוצאת שמאוד עוזרות לנו בשלב הזה, ובכלל, גם אחר כך, מנוחות, מילה פתיחות. ואחד הדברים שעוזרים לנו מבחוץ, קהילה של יותר מ-100 איש התאספה כאן ביחד, רובנו לא מכירים בכלל אחד את השני, ואנחנו הולכים בעצם לצעוד, מטאפורית, ממש כתף אל כתף עם האנשים האחרים שבוע שלם, מאוד אינטנסיבי, ישיבה, הליכה, מי שהצליח להציץ בסדר היום, מהבוקר עד הערב, מהבוקר עד הערב, קבוצה שלמה של אנשים מתרגלת ביחד. איך אנחנו עושים את זה? אחד המשפטים שאומרים על זה, לבד וביחד. Alone with others. מה שעוזר לנו, אחד הדברים שאנחנו מקיימים בסוג הזה, בצורה הזאת של הריטריט, זה מה שנקרא 5 התכוונויות. 5 precepts. ההתכוונויות האלה עוזרות לנו לשמור את המיכל הזה. עוזרות לנו להפנות את המבט פנימה, לדייק אותו. עוזרות למה שרוצה לצאת החוצה להיוולד בצורה הכי נכונה, בזמן הכי מתאים. וחמשת ההתכוונויות האלה מתייחסות גם לבחוץ וגם לבפנים. 5 קווים מנחים, אפשר לקרוא להם, שמתקופת הבודה, מלפני 2500 שנה, אנשים שמתרגלים יחד באופן הזה, שומרים עליהם, מקיימים אותם. ואנחנו כקהילה, עכשיו, מעכשיו, עד סוף השבוע, מתבקשים לקחת את הקווים המנחים האלה בתור ממש הצעה לתרגול. ולבדוק ממש בכל רגע, כריסטופר דיבר על תשומת לב בכל מיני אספקטים של החיים, באכילה. לבדוק בכל רגע איך אני יכול לבטא בעצם מי שאני את הקווים המנחים האלה. איך אני יכול לשמור עליהם, איך אני יכול לתת להם לשמור עליי. הקו המנחה הראשון, הצעה הראשונה, מדברת על לא לקחת חיים, לא להרוג. וכמובן שאין לנו פה כוונות, נראה לי, לאף אחד של הרג. ויחד עם זאת, לשים לב בפעולות שלנו, עד כמה אנחנו מכבדים חיים שנראים לנו לפעמים מאוד לא משמעותיים, מאוד קטנים, מאוד פצפונים אפילו, נמלה שחוצה את השביל שלנו, או איזה זבוב שפתאום נוחת אלינו ומפריע לי במדיטציה שלי. יתוש, אני לא יודעת אם זה העונה, אבל אנחנו נגלה די מהר. עד כמה אני יכולה להיות עם מה שנקרא הפרעות, כסטופר דיבר על ויו, איך אפשר לראות אותם אחרת, ולא לפעול מתוך ההרגל של להכחיד את מה שמפריע לי. במקרה הזה פשוט לקחת חיים. והנחיה היא באמת לשים לב, לשים לב. תקופת האביב בעיצומה, כל החיים מתפרצים עכשיו. יש תורים של נמלים בכל מקום. הם הרבה יותר מאיתנו, מספרית, דרך אגב. אולי להם יש יותר זכויות. לשים לב. הנחיה השנייה, קו המנחה השני, לא לקחת מה שלא ניתן לנו באופן חופשי. בצורה הכי ברורה של זה, זה פשוט לא לגנוב. אז גם כאן, רוב הסיכויים סביר להניח שאף אחד, אף אחת, לא מגיעים עם האינטנשן, עם ההתכוונות לגנוב. ויחד עם זאת, בואו נחדד את זה, נעדן עוד יותר את הפריספט, את ההתכוונות הזאת. לא לקחת מה שלא ניתן לנו באופן חופשי, וולונטרי, רצוני. המקלחות שלנו משותפות. מי שהשאירה איזה שמפו מחול במקלחת בדיוק לפני שנכנסתי, זה נראה לי שווה בדיקה. אבל זה לא ניתן לי. כמה אני יכולה לכבד את הרכוש של מישהו אחר, להשאיר אותו במקומו, וכמה זה עושה לי להרגיש בטוח שאני יודעת שכולנו עכשיו יחד חותמים על אותו החוזה. עידו הזכיר קודם את המקומות שלנו בעולם, קריות המדיטציה שלנו, וכמה אני יכול להרגיש בטוח שאני יודע שהקרית שלי נשארת במקום שלה שבוע שלם. אני לא צריך לדאוג לרכוש שלי. מה זה עושה לי בפנים? שאני לא צריך לדאוג לרכוש. מה זה עושה לי בפנים שאני מכבדת רכוש של מישהו אחר? ומה ההבדל בעצם בין הרכוש שלי לרכוש של מישהו אחר? השם שלי שכתוב עליו למטה? לא לקחת מה שלא ניתן בחופשיות. הכלל המנחה השלישי מתייחס לדיבור, דיבור שהוא נכון. ושוב, בצורה הכי ברורה שלו זה לא לומר דבר שקר. בסוג הזה של קורס, של ריטריט, מה שנקרא, כמו ששמתם לב, גם אליה וגם עידו דיברו על השקט, על השתיקה, אין לנו הרבה הזדמנויות, כן, לשבור את זה, כן, לדבר דבר שקר. ובכל זאת, יש לנו מספיק הזדמנויות לתרגל את זה. פעם ביומיים אנחנו נפגשים בקבוצות קטנות, יש לנו הזדמנות לדבר עם, כן, עם המורים, אולי עם המנהלים, לשים לב את כמה אנחנו מדייקים את החוויה שלנו, דרך המילים, דרך הדיבור. אולי אני קצת מגזים במה שאני אומר, אולי אני קצת מתרברבת וכולי, אולי אני אומר פחות מדי ממה שראוי להאמר או יותר מדי. לשים לב לדיבור, איך הדיבור שלנו מבטא את המצב שלי ברגע הזה. אם אנחנו מדברים על דיבור, אז אולי שווה להזכיר שרוב הזמן אנחנו נהיה עסוקים בדיבור הפנימי. הרבה מאוד מזה נכיר במהלך השבוע הזה. לפעמים זה ירגיש לנו שמישהו יסגור את הרדיו הזה, סוף סוף. אבל הרדיו הזה לא נסגר לפי פקודה, אולי חלק מאיתנו כבר יודעים את זה. לשים לב עד כמה הוא truth and useful, כמה הוא אמיתי באמת ועד כמה הוא תורם לי. מה שהולך כרגע אצלי במים. הקו המנחה הרביעי, הכלל הרביעי, זה לשים לב לא להשתמש לרעה באנרגיה המינית שלנו. צריך פה להיות מאוד עדינים. אנחנו קבוצה גדולה של אנשים, יושבת יחד, מעורבת, גברים, נשים. אין לנו מושג מי יושב ממנינו, מי יושב משמאלנו, מבחינת החוויות הפנימיות שלהם ברגע הזה. מבחינת מה שעכשיו הם עוברים, ובטח לא מבחינת ההיסטוריה שלהם, ולכן הרגישות שלהם. בריטריטים מהסוג הזה ההנחיה היא מאוד פשוטה, כן? להימנע לחלוטין מכל מגע מיני, כן? מכל פעולה מיני, כדי באמת לעזור לנו ולכל אחד מסביבנו, אחד לשמור את האנטנות שלנו בפנים. להפנות את האנרגיה למבט הפנימי הזה, כן? לעזור לים לסגת פנימה בשפל שלו, בזמן שלו. וככה זאת הנחיה להיות עדינים ולשים לב איך אני עושה שימוש באנרגיה המינית שלי כשהיא מתעוררת. האם אני חייב או חייבת לבטא אותה בהתנהגות שלי, בלבוש שלי, בג'סטות שלי? האם אני יכול להתייחס אליה אחרת? הזדמנות לחקירה. והכלל החמישי, לא להשתמש בחומרים שהם מערטלי תודעה. בדרך כלל מתייחסים לסמים, לאלכוהול, שכמובן בריטריט מהסוג הזה לא נכנסים בשער של הקיבוץ, כן, בכלל. זה עושה את זה הרבה יותר קל, זה לא שאנחנו מוצאים את עצמנו באיזה פאב עם עוד 99 אנשים ומזמינים שוק כוחם. ובכל זאת, כן, לשים לב שגם זה קיים, בתור כלל. מה מערפל את התודעה שלי עכשיו? אולי 5 כוסות קפה ביום עושות לי את זה. כן. מתחיל להתערפל. אולי משהו אחר. לשים לב שההנחיה, הבקשה, ההתכוונות שלנו, לשמור על הלב פתוח וחם, על הידידות הזאת, מה שהופך אותנו לקבוצה, שתומכת אחד בשני במסע הזה שנעבור יחד. ולשמור על המיינד, על התודעה שלנו, סלולה, נקייה, בהירה. עוד כמה מילים לגבי המיכל הזה שאנחנו מכילים כאן יחד. גם המנהלים וגם כריסטופר הזכירו את השתיקה. השתיקה בריטריטים, בקורסים מהסוג הזה, זה אחד מהכלים הכי משמעותיים שתומכים בנו בדרך. והשתיקה הזאת היא בעצם דבר מאוד מאוד פרטי, כן? אדם בינו לבין עצמו, פשוט מתכנס פנימה, סוגר את הערוץ הזה של הדיבור, לא מוציא דרכו אנרגיה. מצד שני זה דבר מאוד ציבורי, זאת אומרת, אם אנחנו נהיה בשקט, אבל כל 99, חושב שהרבה יותר, האנשים שיושבים כאן ידברו, גם השקט שלנו בעצם לא יתקיים. במילים אחרות אנחנו תומכים אחד בשני, בזה שאנחנו שומרים את השקט הזה בשביל עצמנו. אנחנו שומרים אותו גם בשביל האחרים. ותמיד מדברים על keeping the silence, לשמור את השקט. ואולי אפשר להפוך את זה ככה, לעשות איזה טוויסט ויותר להרגיש איך השקט בעצם שומר עלינו. כמו מין קרית נוחה כזאת. ניפוך שאנחנו שוקעים לתוכה, סוף סוף אנחנו לא צריכים להגיב או להגיד או להגיד משהו מבריק או לענות למישהו או אפילו ג'סטה, לא חייבים, לא חייבים, אפשר את האנרגיה לשמור פנימה. וזה אומר בקשר לדיבור וזה אומר בקשר למבטים, כן? אין פה הנחיה מפורשת כמובן של לא ליצור קשר עין, אין דבר כזה בריטריטים שלנו. אבל תבדקו עם עצמכם, מתוך מה מגיע הרצון הזה כן ליצור קשר. או אם מישהו בא מולנו ורוצה ליצור איתנו קשר, מה זה עושה לי? האם אני מרגישה מחויבת להגיב? ואם לא, איך אני מגיבה? וכשאני יוצרת קשר ככה עם מישהו או מישהי, ואני מקבלת מין לא כזה, מה זה עושה לי בפנים? תתחיל לראות את הדברים האלה. אני רוצה לאחל לכולנו קורס מוצלח, למידה בזמן של הרחבת הלב, צלילות של התודעה, בזמן של הפתעות. אנחנו יודעים עכשיו, ברגע זה, איך נכנסנו לריטריט, מה אנחנו מרגישים עכשיו. אולי אפשר לעשות קופי של מה שאנחנו מרגישים עכשיו, לשמור אותו באיזה מגירה, וביום האחרון, בשעה האחרונה, לעשות את הפייסט ולראות מה ההבדל, מה קורה לי עכשיו, איפה אני הרגע. ולכולנו קורס טוב. תודה.
Good evening to everyone. It's funny, you know, in the dining hall, Ido approached Lila and myself and asked us, what language will you speak tonight? So Lila said, I think I'll talk English. And I said, I probably will talk Hebrew. Just for tonight. Chag Sameach. חשבתי בדיוק, I guess like most of us, I spent last night in the Seder. And apart from the beautiful food and reading the Haggadah and singing passionately, we had some interesting discussions. And one thing that one friend was reading from a Haggadah with translation, I'm not sure from which tradition, I think it's Rabbi Nachman, it was concerning the plagues, the last one, the one of killing the elders. That's the way to say Makat Bchorot? Killing the elders or the elders' sons?
The older son. The firstborn.
And the way it looks into it in the Midrash, when they look into it deeply, they don't see the story as something that is happening outside of us or just as an historical event. And as you all know, the word Egypt in Hebrew, Mitzrayim, is come from the word debt that bounds us. That's actually what all this fight is against that bound us. And the way it sees, according to that book, this plague of killing the firstborn sons is actually butchering the innermost sacred cows. And in a sense, butchering cows, it's not really the thing to say in the opening of a Buddhist retreat. Yet, acknowledging the tradition that we are coming from and looking deep into it, it's very interesting. It's very interesting, and it's very much connecting to all what all of us are doing here now, coming to this environment of retreat, looking deeply into our views, into our beliefs, with the intention of not leaving anything unturned. There is nothing which is not a legitimate object of us to observe, to look into, to check. There is such a powerful connotation between the retreat and Pesach, the holiday of liberation. And in order to liberate ourselves, we ought to look into what bound us. And look at it very courageously, with all our heart and all the courage. Coming here, actually, all of us had to make, I guess most of us had to make a right turn. Those who came from the north made a left turn from road number 65, the main road that go from the center of Israel to the eastern Galilee. Going off the main road, going off the highway, where so many, many people are busy every day, going so fast. And to come here means to go off the highway, leaving aside for a brief time of 7 days many of the automat pilots to just keep pushing us through life without us noticing what is going on. I think you all deserve to give yourself a great credit for that. It's not an obvious thing to do. It's not a common thing to do. To go off the main road, to leave the Karen, to leave the stream, and to stop for a while, to stop and to look within. Speaking a bit more, how to say, traditionally, I'd like to add to what Christopher and Lila were suggesting about our environment, about the way we can use this very special environment for this sacred job. It's the way that traditionally retreat begins with an invitation to take refuge, lakachat machase, to take refuge in the three jewels. The first one is taking refuge in the jewel of the Buddha. And when saying Buddha, we do not speak about a statue. We do not speak about a specific person or something that this might symbolize as a religion. Buddha, which means in the Pali language, one, awakened one, is, I think, more than anything else, is an inspiration. Inspiration for us all, that it is something which is possible, which is practical, which is available for each and every human being. The possibility to be liberated. The possibility to have a vision of life, to don't see life as a problem that we have to solve. The second jewel is the jewel of the Dharma, the body of teaching and practices that we'll share and practice here in these days. The teachings and the practices that are pointing to a way of life, to a vision of life, which is liberated. And the third one, the third jewel, is the jewel of the Sangha, the community of practitioners, which now here in this environment, it's what we are together. Group of people would come with a very deep motivation. Each and everyone might have different words to describe it. But this very thing that dragged us all here, put us together. Look, so many people here in one room, I guess in the Seder it was a lot more spaciousness last night. But something really urgent in our bellies, in our heart, put us together to share this environment. Like Lila was saying, to be alone with others. Let's trust it. Let's give this community the opportunity to support us, to enable us in that journey. And that journey begins, it always begins here and now. I know that for some of us, these conditions might be odd, strange, not familiar. Some hesitations, worries might come up. For others that do know these circumstances, some worries might come up. How will it be for me to share the room with few others, to sit so long? Many things might come. Acknowledge it. Gives it room, space inside. Begin exactly from the place where you are now. Regarding the space, there is also something more practical which I'd like to mention. The kibbutz that hosting us, they host us very generously, and they like us to be here, and they also very much like us to respect their space. The space that we have here is really the space of Eruach Tavo, of this place that hosting us, which is the limits of it is, all of us know well, the parking lot near the dining hall. Going with there, there is a track going that side, on the other side of the lawn. It gets still a fence. There is also a fence this side. And this is our space. And we are really asked not to go to the space of the kibbutz people. I'd like to wish each and every one of you fruitful and joyful retreat. Thank you.
So before we close this evening, let's just have three or four minutes of some silence, meditative moments for the end of the day. Can be useful just to check the posture, that our back is rather straight and upright. There's still some energy, the eyes can be closed. We're feeling a little tired from a long day, and keep the eyes open. Allowing ourselves to rest in the living present. It's a quiet intention to be with the breath. As you and I breathe in and we breathe out. Just experiencing, inhaling and exhaling. just sitting, just breathing in, just breathing out, and relaxing into the moment. May all beings live with mindfulness. May all beings live with clarity. May all beings live with love.